This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good, usually. But today we have something a little different for you.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And if you are listening to this episode, my God, people, you are listening to this episode because we have just reached $7,500 pledged on our Kickstarter campaign, which is absolutely unreal.
Three-fourths of the way there? That's weird to say.
Guys, this is... I'm going to like just distribute these Monopoly guy hats and these monocles and these canes to
Can
everyone.
Can I have the Yorkie? Yorkie.
Here you go. Yep.
Leave those Monopoly things until we're fully raised. But first and foremost... Thank you
all
so much for getting us this far. We are thrilled, honored, blown away, and so excited to be able to make this show. So just
hopefully.
Thank you for that. Yeah, hopefully. Please
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Sharing. If you haven't contributed yet, now is the time. We're in the home stretch here at the No Bad Ideas / Long Story Short Productions HQ. Without further ado, we thought we would take this special bonus episode of No Bad Ideas to talk about the superhero origin story of Unseen. Where did
possibly
it come
super
from?
Villain origin.
Well, hey. Let's not taint the jury and maybe
no spoilers
try
here.
Try to make friends before we make frenemies.
Mine is an evil laugh.
I guess looking at you, Gabrielle, where did Unseen fall out of the sky from?
You know, it's interesting because my memory of it is we kind of finished Wolf 359 December of 2017.
Yeah.
And we hibernated for a couple of months afterwards. We were pretty catatonic. And then afterwards, we kind of began to in earnest talk about what's a new project, what's a new thing that we can do, what is kind of a new idea that we can approach on this. In summer of 2018, I came to the two of you and went, here's a half-baked, very loose, very kind of disjointed idea for
it was based
a fantasy
on a John
story.
Oliver story, right?
Like sort of like inspired by a John Oliver story that kind of sent me down a like long research rabbit hole that ended with me kind of going like, oh, that might be an interesting story to set in a fantasy world. And I think that, like, I talked to you guys about it, and pretty much after, like, 2 or 3 months of conversation, every part of the original story was gone. Like, it had all changed after, like, a couple of months of conversation.
Well, a couple characters stuck around, but they morphed and changed.
They did.
Yeah.
And
they became very different.
And the other thing that stuck around that I think was the genesis of this was we wanted it to be kind of a fantasy world, but we also wanted it to not be like, what ho, welcome to Middle Earth, traveler, where, you know, it's forever the medieval ages, but with magic. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do something that was, no, this is set in contemporary territory and it's kind of happening and it's hidden. And I think that you... too, and especially you, Zach, kind of asked me a lot of questions about, well, how is it hidden? Who's keeping it hidden? What are the mechanics? Why don't people notice? that eventually kind of led to this idea of like, what if it's not that anyone is keeping it hidden? What if it's just really hard to see? What if it's a world where like magic is invisible? And I kind of think that from there, a bunch of new stories tumbled out of it, kind of from like that crux point of this magic that keeps its own secret.
Yeah, that feels like the right trajectory. And then, of course, we went off in a bunch of different directions with it.
And kind of spent like half a dozen stories all set in different parts of the world.
And then spent like a month and a half trying to build the magic system.
Right. I was going to say, that's not to mention the entire magical, like, physics rule set that now exists that did not once exist.
I sometimes wish that I think that like we had Wolf 359 feels so rare because that really was a show that we kind of like launched into it without knowing much about how the equation was solved. Every other time since then, I know. Well, we consciously chose to ignore how fire worked in space, I think.
No, we gave our friend who is a genuine astrophysicist a hug and was just like, we're sorry, this is not going to be the way that this works.
I don't think they've ever fully forgiven us.
Like, probably not.
They return our phone calls, but I hear that edge in the voice.
Right. No, but you're right. With stuff that we've done since Wolf, we've been a lot more deliberate and done a lot more planning.
Yeah.
Than that show.
And I think that, like, you know, we spent about another year and a half kind of doing things behind the curtain, kind of developing ideas for stories, developing things,
characters.
And this always felt huge. Like, it always felt like it's this whole big thing with a like gigantic cast and this like long history and all of these strange systems. And we're going to get to it one day.
Yeah, it was like our outlet for the thing that we would get to do when we could be super ambitious. Like we've written several things set within this world, and they've all been kind of like not budget conscious at all, like big sprawling stories, because, you know, it's a modern fantasy, but we like our epics.
Right. I think after the Haunted House by Netflix's Stranger Things, I was already thinking about the theme parks, you know, just like
you were thinking about theme parks. That's right.
We've definitely, I think, reoriented in the context of the situation we find ourselves in the pandemic, to make something that we could make that we felt like the world could, that at least we could really use right now.
Well, it's funny. I think that there's even like a step in between where around the end of last year, I think that we sort of got to a point of like, let's actually do something in this world.
Yeah.
And like,
and it's not going to be like the big thing, but we'll do a medium thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we'll get like 10 actors together in a studio and it'll be great. Why couldn't we possibly get 10 actors in a studio here in New York? What would we can do
we
that.
We have a
that
studio. Sounds... We have. Yeah. This seems very doable. We know actors.
We know 10 actors. Yeah. Why would we possibly? And then March happens.
Yeah.
And then March happens.
We actually, I think, had like broken the first season. We're in the process of doing that. The 10 actor version of the
rounding
show.
Up, we had a season that was like ready to get written. And I'm sure a ton would have changed. And that in the multiverse, there's a version of the three of us laughing at us for how little we knew about that world.
Put it this way. We, I think, knew more about what that show would have been than we did about Wolf 359 when episode one of Wolf 359 was released.
Absolutely. Many, many, many multiples. Lots of zeros after that non-zero number.
And I mean, neither a good nor a bad thing, because Wolf 359, when it was designed to be very episodic, because it was
and very fast and loose.
Yeah, and loose and fun and sitcom-y. And then we decided, no, this is very serialized and dramatic.
We stayed loose and fast and episodic just long enough to lull everyone into a false sense of security.
As it was meant to be.
Whereas we were, I think, a little bit more trying to optimize for that sort of finely tuned Swiss Army knife. Swiss watch of just like all both the parts work. Are ticking in, you know, in some sort of logical sync to really, you know, make the most out of what limited budget we would have been working with. And yet still, you know, I think sounded a little bit closer to something of the production value of, say, Time Bombs or, you know, any episode of Wolf 359.
Right. And we were so excited. We were like, finally going to, like, you know, because don't get me wrong, love Time Bombs, love Zero Hours. They're both great projects. I take so much pride in the work that we did with those. They were a blast to make. Each of them about 95% a blast to make, 5% very painful. But that's the way that audio fiction goes. But, you know, but kind of we did hear from a lot of people like, oh, we're itching for something where it's like a longer story with the same characters throughout. And we hear that. We've been itching for that, too. And we were very, very excited about doing that version of the show.
Making a story that was exactly that.
We were. We were excited.
And then the pandemic happened. And I think that for like 3 very sad weeks, we all got on Zoom calls and kind of kept being like, what if we did? No, but like, but then what if it could possibly? No, wait, that wouldn't work.
But like, if this happens, like, that would be great. But we won't know if that happens until this time. And then if it doesn't happen by that time, I don't know when we. And so, like, if we're going to do this any, or like, if we want to do something, we should plan.
We had a come to Jesus moment about doing something in this world, which is what we've wanted to do for so long, or changing the format of the show. And so we changed the format of the show.
And I think like doing something in this world and doing something in this year when like I know that we've all been feeling a little bit creatively cut off from things. And like we know that we've been feeling like we could use a little bit more magic and a little bit more wonder in our lives as like the world burns around us.
Yeah.
And I think that it was you, Sarah, that like kind of like rang the gong of single stories. They'll build up to something altogether. They'll build up to a world, but single stories with one character in each one of them.
Which was a brilliant idea and not hard to execute at all.
I mean, 1 week later, the stories were all written. The scripts were all finalized. Mm-hmm. It was
like it flowed out of us.
A smooth sailing.
We're laughing because it was the opposite.
Yeah, no. Like, you know that thing where, like, Athena sprang fully formed from Zeus's head?
Yeah.
Whatever the opposite of that is what the writing for this show has been.
It's been really tough. Monologues are hard, you guys. And
monologues are so difficult.
1,000 theater majors and playwrights roll their eyes at me.
because they think it's easier because they've told us so.
They were there first
and they were like, guys, this is so hard. And we were like, oh yeah, one character. What could possibly be hard about managing one character? Oh, whatever. And that is like, holy fuck, this is hard. Like,
and also magic is hard. Like fantasy is hard. Which lots of people know.
Right. Because in a world where it might feel like anything is possible, that actually means that you need to be very, very careful about how you present what is and isn't possible.
Right. And especially without any sort of visual information, when you're just sort of conveying the sense of a world that is familiar but different because there's magic in it, you have to be super precise and super guided with how, like, the listener is going to realize they are experiencing something that is magical.
But slowly but surely, things have come together.
Yeah.
And we spent sort of like a very long, very hot summer writing out 10 different stories. And now we're getting to the point where like this is really starting to come together. We have a cast that we're really, really excited about. We have a brilliant labyrinthine logo that one of our favorite illustrators, Michaela Buckley, created
it's so
for us.
Good.
And we're finally getting to tell some stories in this world. And it's funny because, again, this kind of started for so long as the biggest thing that we're ever going to do. And the first thing that we're doing with it is kind of
the smallest thing
in many
we've
ways,
ever
the
done.
Smallest thing that we've
Very
ever done.
Small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The smallest, most intimate thing that we've ever done. But it really does kind
but
of feel
cool
like
is,
the tiny tip of a gigantic iceberg.
Yeah. That's something that I really love about this. And like, I think the fact that it is so controlled and so much smaller than what we had envisioned has actually pushed us in really fun and interesting ways.
To do more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's, I think, part of the angst that we've had with the writing of it is that, you know, there's only so many ingredients on the table. You have to use every part of it. And I've definitely felt like this is maybe the smallest thing we've ever done and also maybe the hardest thing we've ever done. And I'm really excited about some of the results so far. We'll see. I'm crossing my fingers, which you cannot see on a podcast.
And I think that, you know, we've often talked about the three of us especially have felt like Wolf 359 was a little bit of the grad school that we have either not gone to yet or will not go to in terms of how much it taught us and how much we learned and how much we grew by doing that show and kind of continuing along that path. This show maybe feels a little bit like our postdoc in terms of kind of like, again, it has been like, oh, you think you're done growing as a writer? No, here's a bunch more challenges. Here's a bunch more things. You think you're done? Like, you think that you're comfortable? You know how to produce a show? Ha! Here's a whole bunch of things that you've never had to deal with. See how you do with those. And it's been scary at times and like very hard. And like, I think that my hair is growing grayer. It's growing grayer and grayer by the day. But it's also been fun and exciting.
I thought the grayness was just me. I can't see yours on Zoom.
Oh, no, I've started to dye it. Don't worry. This is half an hour of hard work every week.
Well, I admire your commitment.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's a bit of the history about this this here audio fiction project that we are
just a quick
so
sneak peek.
Close to being able to bring to life. And just wanted to thank each and every one of you that has been sharing the campaign and cheering us on social media. And of course, most of all, just those of you that have contributed and gotten us to $7,500 out of a $10,000 goal. We so, so appreciate
Absolutely unreal.
Incredible.
I am.
There's
still
no
in denial. Yeah, I can't believe it.
Well, we'll be back with a normally scheduled episode of No Bad Ideas really soon. This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.